Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
On 610 with Pendergast to run the show.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty Show, T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, have the latest. And the latest is... we missed this guy last week with the Jags, and it seems like he will miss the rest of the season. Clint, big news coming out of the NFL. The Jags moved up and gave up a lot of draft capital to get Travis Hunter. And I'd say probably an okay season, you know, showed flashes clearly of what he could be, but not, you know, not a major impact that maybe you would hope the number two pick has given. But Travis Hunter underwent surgery. He was placed on IR last week, but he's undergone surgery to repair his LCL, which will sideline him for the remainder of the season. No additional damage beyond the LCL, but he is going to be out, and he is expected to return to football activities within the next 6 months. But he is out for the season, and in a couple of ways, this is important here for the audience. One, the Texans are still behind the Jags, even though they had that massive comeback win. They're still a game behind the Jags, and maybe this is an injury that obviously hurts the Jags. We watched it, Clint. The element of not having him out there on either side of the ball, to me in particular, offense, not having Brian Thomas Jr., That was problematic. They weren't as an explosive team offensively. They'll be without him moving the rest of the way. We'll see what's up with Brian Thomas Jr. And then Clint, just unfortunate, a guy who was one of the most unique players coming into the draft and one of the talking points to start the season with the intrigue of him playing both ways, offense and defense. Didn't really see a lot out of that, and now obviously we won't see anything else the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's unfortunate. Just the game of football is obviously more enjoyable if Travis Hunter's on the field. Now it was nice to for them to be missing the talent that they were missing this Sunday with him and BTJ. So that was nice to experience. But look, the Travis Hunter thing is interesting. To me, the fascinating point is again the two-way deal. I was always, opposed, or I guess like the opposite of most folks, of like this was like people talking about this guy being an offensive player first and then just playing sparingly on defense and packages on defense. That is so foreign in my mind that it's almost painful to hear people make it make sense over the last year. Like this is a guy to me that you try to turn into a lockdown corner. He's a return specialist if and when you need it. And he's got a package that is the same from the beginning of the season to the end of the season and how you use him offensively. And it's very simple. You just let him go play fast and threaten the defense however you can. In a screen game, deep, whatever it is, take shots, however you do it. The thought of him being a full-time offensive player and then just sparingly playing on defense has always been wild to me. We'll see how, when he gets back, how they move forward. But to your point, it was almost like he was trying to do so much.
Yeah.
That, yeah, he impacted the game because he's a hell of an athlete. He's going to impact the game. But he's trying to do so much that it's like it almost gets lost in the shuffle. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think you said a little bit earlier, it seemed like they tried to kind of appease him a bit and say, hey, man, he really wants to do this. And I was with him. I thought it was cool to see the attempt. I think now when you look at it, I don't know how much the injury – or him playing both ways had to do with the injury. But clearly, you know, he wasn't impacting the game in the way that you would want somebody you moved up and you gave up like quarterback capital to go get. I think there's an ability for him to do that, but he wasn't able to do that because, you know, it seemed like he's being pulled from both directions.
Yeah.
And you got to get a big-time impact out of that, whether he is a great receiver, whether he is a great corner. Either one of them would work, but he's got to affect it that way. I just don't think he's going to be able to give you 100 plays, 110 plays in the NFL like he did at Colorado.
It's going to be tough. And it's not that his body, so much of the focus was on his body's ability to allow that to happen, and probably not enough on just the workload that he is mentally as well as physically. I think the mental part is even bigger. I mean, I don't know how you play defense and you game plan part-time on the defense, and then every time the huddle breaks, the strength of their formation changes, the motion changes, the route concepts. Are they in a stack? Are they in a bunch? Are they in a spread? Like, all of that changes how you play and what you play. How do you do that on a part-time basis? It's all reactionary. How do you do it on a part-time basis? Offensively, I mean, everything is, you know exactly what you're doing, right? If you're running a go route, you're running a go route. If you're outside release, you're outside release. That don't change. So, like, it's interesting to, you know, I think his body could hold up. I mean, even though I'm talking about in the middle of an injury, I think his body could hold up. It's just mentally, that is an extremely taxing way to approach the game.
So he is out, going to be gone for the season, and that is obviously going to be a hit to the Jags, and that is very helpful for the Texans. That's one of the teams that's in front of them in this chase to the playoff.
5 o'clock fire.
All right. God, the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks, Clinton Tyler, fire Nico Harrison amid continued fan angst. Dallas Mavericks general manager Nico Harrison, as you remember, he is the fool who made the Luka Doncic in the midst of his 25-year-old, midst of his prime, heading out and probably in his best years physically, traded him to get Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and really nothing to compare to what Luka brings to the table. A year removed from leading the Mavericks to the NBA Finals, they move on from him, and then Clint. How long's it been? It's not even been a year. It's not even been a year yet. I remember it was Super Bowl weekend when at midnight this thing happened and he got traded. So we hadn't even reached a year yet, and they fired Nico Harrison. And he was really and it looked like it might turn around. He somehow slipped into the number one pick that Cooper Flagg was at.
Yeah.
And now we look at it now at this point. Kyrie's still injured. Guess who's hurt? Anthony Davis, 5 games into this puppy. He has a hurt calf. And mind you, have you all seen Anthony lately?
I have not.
Anthony's put on a good 35 pounds.
Really?
Go look up Anthony.
Well, his little narrow ass could use it.
I don't know. I don't know how much that weight's help carrying him around after he gets injured.
Probably ain't helping his basketball.
He's got
career,
a calf. Huh? Yeah, he's clearly put on weight and
going full Zion, huh?
Played 5 games this year.
Dallas will do that to you.
And Luka, by the way, 37-9-9, and probably like right there on the short list. It's early in the season for the MVP, and they let him ruin. They let him do this, and then fired him less than a year later. Shame on those idiots. They let him do this, right? If it was going to be 7, 8, 9 months, and this ain't even a full-term pregnancy before they let him go. If that was ever on the table, you cannot let him pull the trigger on this deal. You cannot let him do that. He has got to have at least 2 to 3 more years to see this through. You fire him 7, 8 months after you let him do that.
Holy smokes!
Well, his big plan, he stood up and said, "Hey, man, this is working out. This everybody was talking about the
defense.
Mavericks. The Mavericks being a playoff contender? Hey, man. All of a sudden, you get into the first 10 games of the season, 11 games of the season, you're 3-8, you can't win, you don't trade
Luka to become a playoff contender, damn it. You're trying to do a lot more than that.
All I'm saying is that clearly this little experiment's not working out. It's like they watched 11 games of the 2025 season and said, well, this ain't working.
Cooper wishes he was back at Duke.
Yep.
Talking about he ain't lost like this in his life. This 30 for 30 or whatever this is going to be, the day they allowed. I mean, there were people's like weddings. Like that they were stopped traffic when this happened. Like people weddings chanting against Luke, chanting against Nico. I mean, this is insane.
What if I told you?
No, I can't. Like any documentary that I get my hands on with this Dallas Mavericks trading Luka. Now Luka, he's lost the weight that AD has gained, and now he's up and down the damn court.
Yeah,
I mean,
hey, Dallas will do it to you now. A few pounds, that's
what it was.
They could just make, you know, like a 2024 Dallas sports documentary with the ish show that's been the Dallas Cowboys and what Jerry Jones has been doing and pair it with the Mavericks and we're set.
I want to make this clear. Jerry has done a lot of crazy stuff. I wonder how much Jerry is always 100% there these days. He ain't done nothing near as crazy as this.
There it was. Glory hole.
Yeah, nothing near as crazy as this. I mean, Micah Parsons, at least he had a notion to sign him. He was trying to do something. He just got in a Richard swinging contest and just went. But this year, you know, Jerry's not having Patrick Mahomes and saying, you know what? Hell, man. Ain't going to be able to get it done here. We're going to trade him.
Oh, thank you.
We're gonna trade him to the Eagles. That's what we're going to do. Like, I mean, unbelievable, this guy.
5 o'clock fire.
Tyler again. All right, I'll give you this one, Tyler.
Damn, awesome.
College football. Man, Tyler just keeps sliding when he wants it.
College football playoff tonight.
Yeah, college football playoff rankings come out. Second week. A&M was third. Indiana was second. Ohio State, that was the top three. No, shouldn't be a lot of moving. The only team that's probably going to move out is Texas Tech because they beat BYU, and they just beat them. They beat the hell out of BYU. I mean, that wasn't even close in that game. They are. You've talked about it. They feel different. It is an interesting thought to see if Indiana drops for their not poor, but I mean, it was a tough game against Penn State.
Tyler, I hate to bust your bubble, Bob. There ain't no way in hell. Them two top teams are going to remain the same. There is no
way. Until they play each other in the Big Ten tournament?
No question. That game.
Just because of that.
What they can't afford to do is, it's already four of the top six teams are SEC teams.
Giga.
What they can't afford to do is let the two representatives from the Big Ten, one of them fall up out of this thing with a couple late season losses. Which is very unlikely to happen, but they are going to make the Big Ten is going to hang on to the two top spots.
You don't think there's a chance here. By the way, here's Lane Kiffin, head coach of Ole Miss for now. He spoke on the college football playoff ring.
You know, Texas A&M being three, you know, well, what more do you want them to do to be one? You know, like I said, when people want to schedule and they say, okay, man, we need you to schedule hard teams. You're going to have now nine SEC and then play another hard one. Well, they went up to Notre Dame and won. So those people that say, man, those schedules are worth it to play that. What if they didn't play Notre Dame? If they just played whoever and just had an easy win, they'd be ranked in the same spot. So what good did that do if that's not rewarded? You know, so they got the highest metrics of everybody and they're not number one. So I don't know. Again, you talk about those two teams right there. Put them on a neutral site. Ask Vegas who would win. What's the spread? And that, to me, shows more than people sitting around a room just guessing.
All right. He believes they should be number one. I told you they've had the most impressive schedule to me.
You did?
Side note real quick. By the way, Clint, I think there is a chance that they jump Indiana after that performance against Penn State. I think there's a chance. Did they jump them? But I also hear the point of also, hey, one versus two. We know they're going to meet in the Big Ten title game.
one versus two, and then A&M will see where they are afterwards. But I have never noticed this until just now.
They don't need three SEC teams getting byes in the college ball playoffs.
Will it be three? Oh, it was going to be three. I don't think Indiana's going to. So you think the loser of Ohio State will not drop that far? Will not drop far enough to not get a bye? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, look, I think if those two teams go undefeated and then the only loss they have is in the Big Ten championship game, they will both get a bye in the playoffs. Okay.
And you think if one drops to three,
they'll get a bye in the playoffs?
Yeah, that's what I could see. I could see the new poll being Ohio State, A&M, Indiana. I could see.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's. I don't. I think it's. I think they're going to make sure that those two teams stay top two, because it's harder to fall from two to five than it is three to five.
Yeah.
I'm that's way deep thinking, but I think the powers that be think like that.
By the way, I've never really noticed it until now, but Lane sounds like a mature version of Mike McDaniel.
What do you mean, mature version?
Like a
not as weird,
more mature. Like he seems like Mike 16 and Lane's 21.
You can take seriously.
They both sound the same, but like Lane seems like he's got a little bit more control.
That's pretty
of
good.
His than Mike, because they Mike that sounded like Mike. Like I'm just like, damn, Lane sounds like he just got up out the bed. Mike always sounds like that.
That's pretty good. I can hear it.
Yeah, there's a bit of a Mike McDaniel, like a more mature version of it.
One of them's fighting for their job. The other one's fielding offers.
One of them's going to take it.
Sorry, Ole Miss. All right. Clint has really been impressed by what he saw from Nick Caley. Let's test him. How impressed was he? We'll discuss and have a conversation coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, Clint, you seem to have been very impressed by Nick Caley and what he did on Sunday versus the Jags from start to finish. Even the rough spots, I believe, Tyler, he used the word, the E word.
Elite.
Oh, he did.
Elite.
There it is. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he went elite with Nick Caley. I want to just kind of gauge how impressed you were by this. And 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this as well. Like, were you so impressed? Did he raise your confidence enough to be able to think like, hey, man, maybe he's turned the corner. Maybe he is an answer. Because I have gotten to a point, Tyler and Clint, where, and I don't know that he's moved me off it, but where I thought like, they may be looking for a new offensive coordinator. Especially going to, boy, that Brian Daboll is out there. Mike McDaniel feels like there may be some other options. It was so bad. It was so rough. They may be looking for a new coordinator. I kind of thought that point. Did he maybe move you into a space where you think he's turning a corner and that he may be an answer?
It's very possible.
So he did give you a level. You didn't feel that way going into it, did you?
No. Yeah. I thought the Denver game was better than folks were giving credit. If you remember correctly, you and I talked about it, and I said, I got to tip my cap to Nick Caley. And the offensive line was better. Nick Caley was better. I thought CJ missed a touchdown. I thought Dalton Schultz obviously missed a couple of monster plays that would have swung the game in a big way. And so I put that on the quarterback play more so than the play caller. And then this week, I thought he was tremendous. Your quarterback missed a couple of different huge chunk plays. He missed a couple of different, what I would call throwing the ocean touchdowns for an NFL quarterback. And you kept plugging and kept dialing and dialing them up and kept giving him opportunities. And I thought Nick Caley was as good an offensive play caller as we've seen in a long time here on Sunday. And I thought it comes on the heels of an improvement versus Denver. So I think they're clearly going to stick with Nick Caley. So I mean, I think the moving on from him as a play caller thing, that ship has sailed, and that's not going to happen. So they're going to stick with him. And if you ask me, did Sunday give me confidence that this could potentially be the play caller of the future? I would say yes.
Really? Okay. Someone texted in and said, let's see it work with CJ first. No, I think we need to see it more than just. Well, it's got to start being some consistency because, like, somebody texted in earlier and said, "God, you guys killed me." You know, one day Nick Caley is the worst thing ever walking, and one day he's the greatest.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I tell you what, I'm gonna watch the tape, and if Nick Caley sucks, I'm gonna tell you he sucks.
Yeah, I mean, but if you
Nick Caley is really, really good, I'm gonna tell you he's really, really good. If in your mind that means that we kill you because you tune in, yeah. Guess what? You lose a game, and your offense stinks, and you can't score points, and it lacks creativity. And there's across, you can't protect the quarterback. You can't get receivers open for some odd reason. You got random players on the field instead of your most explosive players. Then yes, I'm gonna come to the airwaves and I'm gonna tell you about it.
Yeah, their last four games, Seahawks, just a S show. Couldn't move the ball. Got stopped. Like, it felt like as many times they got stopped last week against the Broncos in short yardage. They struggle. They come back. They had a really good performance against the 49ers without Nico Collins, without Christian Kirk. Saw it. Maybe he just needs injuries, I guess. And then the Broncos, 15 points, another dead flat performance where they couldn't do anything in the second half. This week, you said, for you, the best offense that you've seen run in a while. They have been very up and down, and I think they have and he has. Like, one game he'll have a good performance, the next one will be like, God, what was that? Like, where the hell was that? You know, and so I think he's been very, very up and down. I don't know what? That I'm there yet with you, but no, I was really impressed to see, all right, my man said, we got to do something different when it comes down. We talked about it last week at Buffalo Wild Wings where he said, yeah, we've got to figure out something else different. Well, they got down to the goal line in short yardage. We see them getting outside with Woody Marks and letting Ursary lead the way. We saw some different things that they did down there. Now, the opponent probably has something to do with it as well, but at least we saw different things. So I was impressed with him saying, all right, man, we got to do some things and change some things up, and then actually seeing that implemented on the field. But I just need to see a level of consistency.
I'm just going to tell you when we're talking on Tuesdays, it's a tape drop Tuesday. I'm going to watch the film, right? I'm going to give you an emotional response on Reaction Monday, and on Tuesday the tape's going to drop, and I'm going to correct anything that I said negatively, and I'm going to tell you what I analyze and what I observe, and if you don't like that, then that just so be it. But that's just the reality of what it's going to be, and I'm telling you, the tape tells you this week. For four quarters, Nick Caley was elite. Nick Caley was special. Nick Caley had an unbelievably great moment, right? Now, can he do that consistently? Can he do it against better opponents? Can he do it with CJ in the game? Can he do it, in a game where you're not forced to go to spread your offense out and chase and play catch up down, you know, and have a 26-point fourth quarter, right? A lot of that dictated what they did, and they were really good in that moment. Now, what do you do moving forward if you're Nick Caley? Well, I mean, we'll see. The story's not written, right? I mean, the jury's still out. And so I can just tell you on a tape drop Tuesday what I watched. And the quarterback was damn good late, as good as we've seen the quarterback play in Houston in 2025. And I can tell you that the play caller was great, was elite for four quarters, and created opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for this team to win a game. Nick Caley was special on Sunday.
And we just got to stop from him getting the, all right, hey, man, you show us that you're capable of putting together, you know, a game plan and leading an offense and doing what you did like you did on Sunday. We got to stop having the other, what the hell was that moments the very next week. Like we have to, that has to slow up. We've got to stop having the, all right, man, damn, man, you got, I don't know if this was Davis or what, but you got 15 targets to Nico Collins. You force fed him, and then like get to a next week where he's got four. Like it's just it like he's got a he and that offense has to be more consistent with what they're putting forth each and every week, and that has got to be the build next week against the Titans. There shouldn't be struggles against that sorry ass team anyway. but the next week it shouldn't be struggles. But the week after that against Buffalo, like, it shouldn't, because Clint, you know, and you watch it, it's not just opponent all the time. It's more than just like, all right, man, damn, man, Denver's just that good, man. That, yes, Denver's just that good, but they also just had some things that they didn't give themselves the best chance to succeed in. And that is something that he has got to improve upon. All right, coming up as we continue, T-Mill's best bets. He broke even last night. Let's see if he can get on a run here with a little NBA tonight. And should we be concerned about the most head-scratching decision that happened in Sunday's game? We'll discuss that next. It is a Texans
You motorboating son of a bitch.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Text line, Ron, talking like Kaylee didn't say they were going to change their strategy depending on the opponent. That's fine. If you want to change your strategy, whatever, it just, your strategy can't, and whatever happens, it can't be one week you play really well and the next week you get thrashed as an offense. One week you play well, the next week you look like you don't know what you're doing. Like, it's just got to be some level of consistency. And if that means you got to go away from this game plan, whatever, that's fine. But just like the game plan found itself this week, where Dalton Schultz was heavily involved, Nico Collins heavily involved, Woody Marks heavily involved, some way it feels like that should be replicated. Again, like, I don't care how it happens.
Seems pretty common sense.
Like, huh? I don't care how it happens, whether it's game plan, whatever. Like, you can't say, talking like he didn't say he was going to change the group. Yeah, I got it. But I don't think it's going to work very long for him if he's good one game, two games, bad three.
Yeah.
Good one, well, bad one. Good. No, I don't.
I just don't know that. Look, there's not another Tom Brady out there. There's not another Bill Belichick out there. And you know, I just don't know how real it is to replicate or duplicate what they did back in the early 2000s offensively with the approach of doing more with less and being smarter than the other guys. And like, at some point there has to be, like, at the very least there has to be, Ron, to your point, like, you've got to look across and acknowledge, like, I've got to get my best players on the field more often. Yeah. I've got to get my best players on the field in critical situations. I've got to get my best players touches more often and win the games on the line, because scoring 10 points or scoring 14 points or whatever, that's not going to get it done. And I just don't know that, again, the doing more with less type of approach and being, trying to be smarter than everybody else game in, game out, and being such a, you know, schematically such a cerebral, mental driven approach. I just don't know that that's real in today's football, and something that without a Brady is yeah, you know, you're able to duplicate.
Yeah, just, I mean, it's just, I really don't give a rip what type of offense he runs. It's like, it can't be so up and down.
Right.
Like, it's got to be some consistency. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, the rookie left tackle, Ariante Ursary. He will join Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, coming up behind us. Area 45 back at it, 8 p.m. to midnight. You know it is. Bajani, Patrick Creighton, and our guy Colin jumping in.
Big Colin.
For the fellas. That's coming up after Texans All Access. Make sure you stay tuned here in a couple of minutes. We will get T-Mill's best bets as he broke even yesterday. See if he can get over there into the green. All right, Clint, obviously the Texans were able to win the game. The Texans didn't let this continue, what happened there in terms of the start that number 62 off the practice squad was given. And obviously it is not as top of the line, not as big of a conversation with how everything went on, and he only played 7 plays. But Clint, for you, how concerned are you about that entire situation of old 62 coming into the game and getting a start right off, fresh off the practice squad.
Well, when you win in spite of it, I think it's obviously minimized, but you know, whatever the driving force is behind the silliness is what I'll refer to it as that goes on. It seems to be usually in some way, shape, or form associated with the Patriot way. It seems to always go back that direction. And then you got guys that have that lineage that want to explain to us how you know, it makes sense. And in reality, it doesn't. The left guard situation. I mean, these guys get up there in a press conference, go, yeah, it's our, you know, we feel like it gives us our best chance to win to rotate left guards. They know that D'Amico, of all people, knows that in no way, shape, or form is evaluating the players. Say, this is my better guy. Get him in the game as many snaps as I can and let him play until I decide he's not the better guy. Right? Clearly, you have an opinion of one guy's better than the other. To keep going back to the guy that's not as good as the first one is silly. It's silly talk in a game, right? The thought of you've been rotating guards at left guard all year long with two guys, A and B. All of a sudden, the right guard gets hurt, and instead of just plugging those two guards in at the guard spot, you bring a guy up off the practice squad and start him at one of those spots. That is, like, you don't play practice squad players unless you have to. You don't play practice squad players by choice.
Like the Ravens had to.
Right. By choice. I mean, you've got the two guys that have been rotating at left guard for 9 weeks that you've been trying to tell us are your best options at left guard, and they're better off if they're splitting reps and they're fresh all the time and they're rotating, right? And then you've got a guy which they ended up playing and starting this week. One of the guys they started was Patterson. And so that one makes sense by itself in a vacuum because he's been on the team, he's been getting reps, he's been working at guard, he played here a lot last year. For whatever reason, there's always something, some excuse, some silly explanation behind some of these moves. And as long as you win, they're not going to be a big deal. But the minute that you lose games, which, look, they've lost more than they've won this year, it's brought to light, and it's hard to wrap your head around and hard to understand.
Yeah, to me, it's just concerning of, like, the evaluation of, like, all right, man, we think this is the best thing for us. The evaluation of the situations they find themselves into. That is concerning
But this is bigger, Ron, because this one contradicts, you know, everything that they've been doing, right? Like this move contradicts the first 9 weeks of the season, including a bye week where you rotated your two left guards and that was the best way to win games. And then all of a sudden, within a week where I argued the offensive line actually played better, those two guys go to the bench and this City Sal guy comes off the practice squad and all of a sudden is plugged in and plays like he's overwhelmed from jump. Is like, it just contradicts everything that they're doing, and it makes you wonder, do the decision makers really understand on the offensive line? Like, I understand the defense is great, they made great decisions over there. I understand that they got CJ, they got Nico. Okay, fine. On the offensive line, this has been an absolute mess, right? But this is just, to me, this is just the latest of you know, we're smarter than everybody in the room. We're going to do it differently, and it's going to work out. And it just, with the offensive line, it continues to bite them in the ass. Look, the same person that thinks it's a good idea to consistently trot Dare Ogunbowale out there in third down situations, no matter what the score is, no matter what the down and distance is,
no matter who you got on the team,
the same person that thinks rotating left guards is a better idea, right? I mean, it's the same person that thinks that, you know, 14 goes out there and has a really good game, and every time he's on the field makes plays, but we're not going to make it a point to make sure that he's on the field more and he gets more touches. You know, those individuals are in the building over there. I don't know where it stems from, but they're in the building over there, and they are head-scratching moves. that seem to just happen once every couple of weeks that make you wonder, like, what in the world is going on?
Just hoping that we don't have many more of those what in the world. Because that took the cake on the what in the world. That was unreal.
Jalen Noel had 25 snaps, number whatever he is.
I can't believe he had that many.
Six.
Jalen Noel had 25.
Who had six, would you say?
That
62.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, City Sal. Yeah.
Jalen Noel had 25 snaps?
Oh, no. Jalen Noel got quite a bit of run this week.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that high.
He got more than his 11 that he got last week.
He got a little run this week. Yeah, they did a good job of getting the youngsters involved this week.
Higgins had his best game.
Look, Higgins had his best game. Jalen Noel caught the big ball over the top, caught a couple of little balls out in the flats. Woody Marks was in the game down the stretch late.
Yeah, Woody was big. Yeah, Woody.
Yeah, no, I thought they did a good job of spreading the football around, and we just got to come to terms. Like, this is just not going – again, we've said this a million times – this is not going to be an offense that consistently feeds one player or two players or three players. This is going to be an offense that they want to try to spread the ball around, no matter who that means is getting catches and who isn't getting targets. That's what they want to do, and it works out. It's worked out quite a bit, and it's worked out really well a handful of games, and it's messed the bed a handful of games. We'll see. I just know this. I know that they were awfully special this week.
We'll see if they can build on this. All right, someone who's not going to wet the bed, Tyler Milner, T-Mill's best bets. By the way, if you do not hear them or get them or you want to see them again, check out at T-Mill Real Deal. He'll have them posted up there for you to look at. What are your bets tonight?
I got NBA action. No Rockets, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, boys, but
they play
Rockets
tomorrow.
Okay. Five best bets around the NBA tonight, though. Here they are very quickly. As Ron said, if I say I'm too quick, just head to the Twitter. Kings, +9.5. Give me those points. They are hosting the Nuggets. Next, I'm on an over. Memphis Grizzlies at the New York Knicks. Over 231.5 points in that one. Raptors at the Nets tonight. Under 233.5 points for that game. And then two player props. They're both Philadelphia 76ers as they are taking on the Celtics tonight. I got Joel Embiid under 7.5 rebounds. He has not eclipsed that in, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. And then Tyrese Maxey over on the rebounds, over 4.5 rebounds for Tyrese Maxey. We've made a lot of money on that bet over the last couple of years. Those are your five best bets.
I like the Maxey one. I like the Joel Embiid one. You just don't know how many minutes he's going to play. He's usually around. They're building him up in the low 20s, and he's only I don't even think he's averaging 6 rebounds a game. So I like those two. Kings Nuggets. Ooh, I don't know about that one. I will say, by the way, your basketball coach now. I mean,
fucking balls begun.
The fact that John Calipari only was able to pull one championship out of Kentucky, when you start looking at these cats that he had rolling through there.
I'm glad he's bringing them to Arkansas.
Shea Gildress, Alexander, Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey is going off. Like, he is. And out of all people, the one that stayed healthy enough to get him one was Anthony Davis. It's just wild. But check out his picks and go ahead and make you a little money as well. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron, the show Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
Our question of the day was, what war film character would you be? Yeah. And in talking around it, your very own T-Mill. T-Mill, you want to do the honors?
Clint would be Lieutenant Aldo Raine on Inglourious Basterds.
Don't grab my hand. Choke yourself.
And then he slid into Saving Silverman.
I always knew I was different.
Touch my hand.
I always knew I was different, and now I know why.
Two things you got to remember, boys. Number one, stay away from women.
Number two,
sportsmanship.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You're so H-Town.